And good evening. After Hours rolls your way till 9 o'clock. A lot of Chiefs, a lot of Royals. Jay Binkley here with my man Jacob Mustard. Proud Oak Park Northman right here. It's Oak Park Show. Gotta love it. How you doing tonight, Jacob?
Doing great. What about yourself?
Doing good, my friend. Royals 2 out of 3 against a 60-win baseball team. You know, they one of the high market teams in baseball, high payroll. The Royals just come in there, win 2 out of 3 after losing 2 out of 3 to the Marlins. Man, the Royals just get you confused, and today was a beautiful day. I mean, I'm telling you, 4 two-run homers, tying a franchise record.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like you said, they're very, very confusing. They're either red hot or ice cold. Man. It's seemingly like there's no in between.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, either ice cold, and I've been screaming about wasting this window of opportunity because this pitching staff is so good. I mean, this pitching staff has been ridiculously good. ERA, 2 in baseball, 2 in the American League. Starters, 4th in Major League Baseball, 2nd in the American League. Relievers, 8th in Major League Baseball, 5th in the American League. And yet we're all eyeing the trade deadline, right? 6 more games left. What are they going to do? I mean, all the people, I mean, Carrington replayed that call from Vern's show about trading Salvi. You know, they wanted to trade Salvi. Yes,
I'm pretty sure I was here for that one.
And I agree. Well, no, they did it again today. Remember early in the season, everybody wanted Salvi gone, that he was, you know, past his prime. He was done, couldn't do it anymore. Salvador Perez is on a heater, man. His last 13 games, he's got 9 home runs, 19 hits, 13 ribs in his last 13 games. I mean, that dude is El Fuego. I remember Ned Yost saying, yeah, give me 3, maybe 4 guys on the team hitting. Well, Vinny is hitting the hell out of the ball. He has been this whole summer from June 1st on, even in mid-May, he started to get hot. Vinny's been hitting extremely well. And then Bobby Witt, of course, didn't play today because they're resting his knee, DH'd yesterday. So that's your 3 right there. And then if you can get production, you know, from somebody else in the lineup, I mean, I'm obviously, you know, Kyle Isbell be that guy. I wouldn't count on that. They do need another hitter in the outfield. Not saying they don't. But one thing I will say is, don't waste the pitching. Don't waste this pitching staff, because we'll look back on it 2025 and think how good these pitchers were with the Royals, and you gave them no run support. But 12 runs in game 1 against the Cubs, that's the high water mark of the season. They looked like crap yesterday. You know, you got a 45-year-old out there old throwing, which, you know, props to old Dick Mountain.
He did
Rich
great.
Hill. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's fine. Love that name, by the way, that nickname, Dick Mountain, Rich Hill. Right? Isn't that a great one?
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's like Richard Fitz of the Red Sox. You know, and Richard Lovelady for the Mets going by Dickie Lovelady now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're finally embracing the popularity. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, Rich Hill, I've seen this. This guy's been everywhere, man. He's been on, what, 14 teams now?
I think that's 17. I think that's franchise. What I heard, 14 well, he's teams. It's a journeyman.
Yeah, he's been on the Red Sox 4 times, bro. 4 times.
Hey, he loves the game. I mean, there's something that keeps you going if you're doing that many teams and that many years.
I guess, man.
I think they said he started about 20 years ago was his first appearance.
It's like being married to the same lady 4 different times, you know. Just at some point, he's going to say, I'm good, man. No, I like somebody once he's got a ball, man. He didn't want to give it up because he knows, you know, once you hit that retirement button, you're done. Especially at that age, you're done. These football players, you know, that leave at 30 years old or something, then a year later, like, I shouldn't have done that. I still got it in me. Because you have one time in your life. You have one time in your life to do it. You might as well go ahead and do it. Well, today, 8-4. Again, 4 two-run home runs. Salvador Perez, as I mentioned, 19 hits in his last 13 games. 9 home runs in his last 13 games. That dude, man, is on complete fire. And it's good to see. Is it enough? Is it enough? No, it's obviously not enough because this team does have issues, or they wouldn't lose 2 out of 3 to the Marlins. But they suck you right back in, man. They do. Because you always think, tonight's the night. Like, I was going to that game with Rich Hill, you know, and they look like crap yesterday. I mean, they were getting no hit through 5 or whatever. They look like the season in a nutshell. But then today they go out there. That's why you just can't get too high. and you can't get too low. I mean, you look at how bad Cleveland's played. Didn't they go on a 10-game winning streak? I mean, that's baseball, man. You're going to have your streaks, and it's going to come down. It's going to falter. The Brewers have been on a streak. The Blue Jays have as well. They've been playing great baseball as well. But you come down. All these teams have these great seasons. They start coming back. Now, I do think the Royals season, in a nutshell, is incredibly frustrating. It's incredibly frustrating. And Lugo was freaking dynamite today. He was.
Yeah, and like you said, you don't want to waste this great pitching unit. They have depth. They have talent. They have young stars. They have veterans. They have an all-star.
They made the playoffs last year.
They're looking really good and just not getting the run support. So, you know, everyone's talking about them adding a bat, and we'll see what their trade deadline moves looks like.
You know, it's going to be interesting. It's like having an elite quarterback and not doing anything around it. It's kind of like, to be honest with you, it's Cincinnati Bengals right now. I mean, you've got a quarterback. You got a generational quarterback in Joe Burrow. And, yeah, he put up MVP-type numbers, didn't win it, Josh Allen did. But they had no defense. And, yeah, their biggest star led the NFL in sacks last year, and number two the year before. But the last 2 years, he leads them in sacks. He's pissed. He's living down in Florida now because he's mad at the team, even though he's under contract, but they won't give him guaranteed money past 1 year. They remain the only team in the NFL, with Shamar Stewart being the only team in the NFL without signing their first-round pick at this point. And they were the last team last year to do it with Amarius Mims. It's like, you have this all-world quarterback. You went out and paid T. Higgins, right? Jamar Chase, he's happy. He's content. He's paid. Like, you got this offense, but half your team is not complete. I mean, I look at the Royals being the major league version of the Bengals. I mean, that Bengals offense is elite, right? But that defense sucks. The Royals pitching's been elite, but the hitting this year has been not good. But I will say this, the All-Star game did wake them up. They've got 12 home runs now since the break. They played two series. They got 12 home runs now just since the All-Star break. Just two series, Miami and then Chicago. Like, where has this been all year, Jacob? Why are we just now sitting 6 days from the trade deadline and you start seeing, you know, 8 runs tonight, 12 the night before, but then you get that zero kind of sandwiched in there yesterday, which brings you back to reality, like this may be what this team is?
No one wants to be traded. They all hear their names and rumors and all that, and they decide to get start acting right or playing better or playing up to their potential, and they don't want to move.
Well, one
maybe
thing
some
is,
do, but yeah, they're established here, and they want to finish out the season, so they start playing better.
I mean, why wouldn't you want to be here? There's no pressure on you whatsoever. It's a great place to live. It's no pressure, as I said, with this team. It's fun. They all get along. They get along great. I mean, it's go around and do their business. But it's frustrating because they made the playoffs last year, and look at some of these teams in front of them and just how kind of shaky that those teams are. And if the Royals could put some hitting together, I mean, this Cubs series, if they could play like that, you could take that stinker like you had yesterday. You could take that one stinker if you go out and have two games where, hell, you get 12 runs, one of them and 8 the next. You have 12 home runs since the All-Star break. I mean, something's working. Like, something's working. Maybe taking the break and then being on the road, maybe that rejuvenated them. You know, a little pep in the step going forward. But we expected this in April. We expected this in May. You know the adage, a little bit too late.
Maybe it is Frazier. Maybe he's bringing the locker room vibes.
But like Lugo, I mean, I understand you're going to move more than just him if you really want something for the future. Because Lugo is going to be given to you by somebody or traded for you for a piece, right? Because he's a rental. And some teams are getting for August and September. That's it. He's a free agent after this year. He's got a club option with the Royals. Clearly, that's going to be done, but it's not going to happen. But it's going to be a rental piece with him. Now, if you do part ways from your big-time catchers that are number one and two in your organization, a Blake Mitchell or a Carter Jensen, which I would hate to see that, to be honest with you. These dudes are pretty damn good players, and Carter Jensen's a local guy from Park Hill. You know, they pushed him out, but, man, it's just so frustrating, man, because I watch them every night, man. I do. They're must-watch TV for me. Do I get frustrated that I crapped it last night? Yeah, but there's been a lot of nights like that. But you know what? You watch it today, and you're like, okay. The other night when they just getting run after run against those Cubs, they came in with the league's best record before the Royals got there. And you know what they probably said? L, L, L. You look at today, Tolbert's on third. You know, no Bobby Witt Jr. in the lineup. You're like, oh, man, what are the Royals trotting out there? Then they go out there and hit four home runs. Even Tolbert freaking hits a shot, a two-run shot. The Cubs fan threw it back, which was perfect because he got his ball. He got his first home run back, right? Because the Cubs like to do that. But he got his first home run without trading the jersey. See, this, the fans would have been smart. And if it was a Royals fan or a Cubs fan, you could have gotten something for, man. You could have at least got a jersey, maybe a bat, maybe baseballs. But oh, no, you want to follow in tradition. Let's throw the home run ball back. Just maybe, maybe, maybe check Baseball Reference and realize, oh, that's his first one, and not throw it back.
Yeah, try and make some smart moves if you catch a home run ball.
But then he got twisted up on his running the bases, I guess, at some point, because then he got pulled from the game, so that sucked. But Seth Lugo was nails like he's been for this team. He was second in the AL Cy Young last year. His 11th quality start for the team this year, 33rd quality start out of 52 for the Royals since he's been here. Like, Seth Lugo has been awesome. And I know the whole trade Lugo. What are you going to get for Lugo? Like, what are you really going to get? And if you do seriously want to contend, you got to hold on to these pieces. I know it sucks because you're thinking about future, but really, what kind of future piece are you really going to get for a rental player? That's the thing. If not, you're going to have to part with prospects. But you want to see this team good in 26. You want to see this team good in 27. The problem is this pitching. As I mentioned, number two in all of Major League Baseball in ERA. There are teams that would die for this pitching staff. Number two in the American League. Just the starters, fourth in baseball. And that includes guys like Reagans, who finished fourth in the AL Cy Young last year. Banged up on the year. So much so you have a 45-year-old pitching last night, and yet you're still second in Major League Baseball in ERA. You've got a rookie from St. Joe, Noah Cameron, that, to be honest with you, and you know he's not going to win Rookie of the Year, but his numbers, like Mizorowski, you know, the local product from Green Valley that's doing so well for the Brewers, Noah Cameron's like better in every single category than him. I mean, he's been that good. Noah's been that good, so yeah, you throw these guys in, they're still getting the job done. The bats have been frustrating. They're starting to warm up now a little bit. Starting to warm up here in July. What is it, July 22nd or 23rd? I think it's 22nd, right?
23rd.
Oh, is it 23rd already? Yeah, 23rd. Man, this month's flying by, man. Just seemed like it was 4th of July a minute ago.
That's for sure.
Now all of a sudden, kids will be going back to school and we'll hit Labor Day. And then, you know, hey, oh, keep our attention because guess what? The Chiefs are in camp this week, which we'll have plenty to talk about that. Let's go to the phone lines at 913-586-7965. Also, the Jay South Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Same phone number, call and text. Let's go to Double J in Kansas City. What's up, Double J?
Hey, Bink. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you,
bud? Not too bad, man. Hey, I just want to say, what a win today for the Royals. How about them? I mean, taking 2 out of 3 from the second best team in the major leagues.
Well, they were first before the Royals got a hold of them.
Right. Just awesome. And I'll tell you what, this is a big weekend against the Cleveland Guardians. I'll be out there Saturday.
Nice.
And staying out there after the game for little flow rider apple bottom jeans. So. Yeah,
is there bobbleheads Saturday, Double J? Is there bobbleheads? Because I know people like bobbleheads, man.
I'm not sure, right? But I know Flo Rida's performing after the game. So it should be fun. And I'm believing it. I'm starting to come back and believe in this team. They've been irritating a little bit this year, but
they haven't
dug themselves like in a hole like years past. They're still right in playoff contention for a wild card, and heck, I tell you what, T, watch out for Detroit. I mean, they're kind of struggling at the moment, T, so never know what can happen. So,
well, they've positioned themselves so far out of the league, you know, up in the league, it's tough. And the Royals, they've got to jump teams. They're 4 games back right now. Of course, the games have to be played tonight, but Cleveland, it's coming in. They're 2.5 games back. The Rangers, a game and a half back. Then the Rays, just a half game back of the Yankees, Mariners, and Red Sox. So you need those guys, those teams up top to start tanking. And, you know, you never know. It's baseball. They can do it. I mean, you can get hot and you can get extremely cold. And we've seen that. The Royals had the pitching staff to get this done. This is not smoke and mirrors. This is not a mirage. this is something tangible. They were great last year. They've carried that over this year. There's nothing to look at this pitching staff and say, no, this pitching staff's going to let you down. Until you start trading off all the pieces. And when you do that, you've waved the white flag, and then it's done.
Yep.
And then it's who's going to be left tackle for the Chiefs time.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Double J. Appreciate you calling in. Much appreciated by you, and have a good time out at the game this weekend. I was at the Mets series. The two games I went to on Friday and Saturday, I lost both. And they were in both. It's so frustrating, man. Those Mets fans, too, they were so quiet the whole game, Jacob. And then, man, then they started getting leads at the end. And then it was like chest out, cocksure of themselves, drinking a few brewskis. Let's go, Mets. Let's go, Mets. Even though the Royals beat them in 2015. But, you know, they have a $300 million payroll. The Royals don't. But the Royals really were in all those games. Regardless, anyway, we'll talk Kansas City Chiefs next. We'll get back to the Kansas City Royals as we go forward. But there is training camp going on for the Kansas City Chiefs. Day two of practices happened today. We'll discuss that and the moves they've made to solidify this team next. Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan. After Hours, Jay Binkley, Jacob Mustard producing the operation from the text line. Bink, you're not waving the white fat flag trading Lugo. In fact, we should trade Lugo. We'd be foolish not to package him and Mitchell or Jensen for somebody like Duran, Jaron Duran. You can buy it from the Red Sox. You can buy and sell at the same time and still win. See the Tigers last year, perfect example. No, that's true. You could do that. And for some reason, the Red Sox that are in it, in the playoffs, as a wild card team right now, half game up on the Rays. It's going to be a battle with them. They do have a crowded outfield. Duran has played in 101 games, but it is a crowded outfield, and they'd be willing to trade them. But, man, the guy does a lot for that team. I think it'd be silly for them to do it because guess what? Wild cards do damage in the postseason. 2 years ago when the Rangers played the Diamondbacks, both those teams are wild cards. The Diamondbacks were the third wild card team. The Rangers were the number two wild card team, and they won it all. And they barely were the second. They were just a game above the third place team for the wild card. So you can't make it, but, you know, if you get rid of Lugo, I mean, he's your guy you can trust when he goes out there to pitch well, which means, so you're going to rely on Reagan's coming back and being that guy? You're going to rely on Rich Hill? You're going to rely on Dallas Keuchel? Like, how good is this team going to be without a Seth Lugo? That's the question you have to ask, because trading away means you better replace it with somebody viable if that. But if you say, well, you know, bring it about, this team needs more than just one bat. Need one more Royals call before we switch to Kansas City Chiefs. Let's go to Blue Springs and talk to Zahn. What's up, Zahn?
How's it going, Bink?
How are you?
Doing well.
What's on your mind?
So, calling today, I want to talk about some player development. I think after watching Jack, I think we've had enough time to say that he's a solid player, but he's got a way to go to be the player we think he can become. I want to hear your opinion on the Royals training staff and their development.
You know, it's tough to say, and I do like the development they've done with some of their, as far as the pitching talent and the hitting talent, we'll see. I mean, Jack may or may not be ready. I say you stick with him. I mean, the power's there. It's obviously there. You've seen it. The five home runs to this point. I think it'll snap for Jack at some point, and he came up here with a lot of pressure because he came up here in a way that you didn't want to see him come up, trying to be the savior of this team, to be just that extra bat, extra outfield bat that they needed. But, yeah, in the outfield sometimes it looks overmatched. But as far as player development, they're developing homegrown talent. Noah Cameron, pitcher, Chris Bubich, that came up through the Royals, who made the All-Star game this year. So, yeah, you see some things, and you're like, okay, I like this. I like some of the moves they're making, especially with the pitching staff, bringing these guys in, Estevez and all those guys coming into this team and doing well. It's good to see. We'll see. I mean, they do have an arm tied behind their back. Whether we want to acknowledge that or not, it's true. You know, the Royals are a small market team. They don't have the cash that other teams can spend on things. They don't have $300 million to throw to payroll like the Mets. They don't do it. They are the only small market team since the cable television explosion to win the World Series when they won in 2015 and just a hair away from winning it in 2014 as well. So, yeah, they've done some great things. They've just got to be smarter what they do because you know, when they got rid of Infante, it was $12 million. That hurts the Royals. They don't have $40 million, $60 million. Even we've seen $73 million thrown out by teams trying to get rid of players. They can't do that. They have to be right. They have to be 100% right. So, yeah, there's some things. But, man, I tell you, the development of Jensen and should really make people happy for what they can do. So we'll see. We'll see. Bottom line is we know they can develop pitching, and it is the currency of baseball. But day two for the Chiefs camp is going on. You been up there much to St. Joe, Jacob, back and forth?
No, I mean, I've been into St. Joe, but I haven't made it out to the training camps in a long time. I think the last time I went, I was probably 13 years old, so close to 10, 12 years ago now.
What is a bit different access when I was in high school and played the same place you did, Oak Park? You got into William Jewell when they training camp there because they had Jewell before they went up to River Falls, and they moved from River Falls, obviously, to St. Joe, but yeah, they'd give you the training workout or whatever. They were just accessible, man. I mean, they were great about stuff. It's changed. I think fans were season ticket holders were waiting the first day at like 2 a.m. Like at 2 a.m., they were waiting to get into practice. That's dedication, and it's also insanity at the same time, considering it is practice. And they were just in shorts, and they've still been in shorts. And tomorrow's the first day for everybody that wants to go up there and see them practice. They can go with 14 more practices up in St. Joe to this point. There's a good crowd out there today, but yesterday was ridiculous. And tomorrow I think it'll be ridiculous. But the weekends, because they have 3 weekend practices, not full slate on weekends like usual, but 3 weekend practices for the Chiefs up there. And it's not Camp Cupcake at all. Andy Reid is a tough training camp, and that's good to see. And, you know, they're focused, man. Anything and everything you hear out of them is focused and revenge. We'll get to some of that going forward. But the Trey Smith deal, the Chiefs sign, draft, develop, sign. Yeah, you saw that with Trey Smith. And I always thought it would get done with Trey Smith because he's a company guy. He was taking the sixth round. The Chiefs take a shot on him. He repaid the favor. He's great in the community, does everything. And, hell, he showed up to minicamp even though he's under the tag. And who knows which direction he could have gone, because I've seen other guys on the tag not decide to show up that, but he did. And then he gets the contract worked out. George Karlaftis got one 2 years early. Trey Henderson can't even get his money in Cincinnati, and George Karlaftis now a top 10 guy at being paid for edge rushers. They get the deal done, and to me, both those guys in a way took a deal, even though you look at Trey Smith and think, okay, he's the highest paid guard in the National Football League. He didn't have to sign. He could play it on a franchise tag, made it $23 million. To become a free agent, and who knows where it goes, because other guards will sign in that meantime, and you know what happens then, the salary always goes up. But it was smart business, and I do want to talk about Brett Veach, because I am curious. 913-586-7965. We'll get to it in a bit. But the top three Brett Veach moves that you think, because the reason I bring this up, Tyrann Mathieu, you know, retiring from the Saints, and I know that he kind of wore his welcome out a little bit with Chiefs fans through social media or whatever at the time. But to be honest with you, that was a big signing. I never forget Dusty was working with me that night that they signed the Honey Badger, and they hadn't really done anything. And people are like starting to question Veach. Well, what's he going to do, man? Is he going to make a move? Well, he did. He goes out and gets Honey Badger. And not saying it was the most important move, because obviously the most important move for the Chiefs was Patrick Mahomes. It was a Dorsey pick, but obviously Brett Veach is one of the scouts on that, but that was the biggest impetus for their success and win the Super Bowl. But Tyrann Mathieu really kind of changed around that defense. The defense in 2018 was bad, real bad. I mean, Mahomes had to score every time he's on the field. They scored 50 points one game, still lost. They scored over 40 points one game, still lost. That defense was so bad, it was like Texas Tech pad all over again. They had the worst scoring defense in college football at Texas Tech, 128th at that point. He had to score a touchdown every time he was on the field, and that carried over that rookie year that he had with Kansas City. Well, not his rookie year, but he redshirted that first year. But then in 2019, they're ready to go. They go out and win a Super Bowl. I think Tyrann Mathieu, a big part of that impetus, kind of changed the scope of defense and how we look at this defense with the Chiefs, because they've never been a top defense. They faced them. Remember that 13-second game? You know, when it's Grimm, go out and be the Grim Reaper that Reid told Mahomes against the Bills. That was the number one scoring defense the Bills had in the NFL. Like, you pair that with the quarterback like Allen, what would that happen with the Chiefs? We've seen the defense kind of carry the Chiefs. You know, 15th in scoring offense the last 2 years, even though when they got to the postseason, things changed and this offense came to life and it was good to see. But yeah, you think with the Trey Smith deal and the deal with the Karloftis, so you draft, develop, and then re-sign these guys. We've seen other teams do this and their success. Chiefs didn't really go out and get wild in free agency, but they have signed some of their core. And as long as you have Mahomes, this team has a window, man. As long as that window is here with Patrick Mahomes, it's there. And everybody's going to be under contract. You know, you're probably going to lose Kelsey after this year, but you're going to have Smith. You're still going to have Creed Humphrey. They're under contract. But then a lot of the guys on offense, plug and place, man. You plug and place. And I know everybody wants everybody to go out and get a new contract for the team. You just can't pay everybody. Veach's problem is a good one, but he's kind of created it. You know, you draft Trey Smith in the sixth round, then you pay him the highest paid guard in the league, Creed Humphrey, second round pick. You know, Juwan Taylor came over from the Jags, second round pick. They're not loaded with first round picks on this offense. A lot of people have that misconception. The Chiefs, you know, have this all-star team or whatever. Mahomes, first rounder. You know, Josh Simmons, if he starts, that's a first rounder. Hollywood Brown, believe it or not, was a first rounder. So that does count. But two starters as of this point that are first-round picks, I mean, you just have to be good. You just have to be better than anybody else. Hell, you go back, Travis Kelce, a third-round pick. You look at his defense, Chris Jones, going to the Hall of Fame, second-round pick. They're just loaded with guys that weren't first-round picks. Nick Bolton's led this team in tackles a couple of years, second-round pick, pick 58. So, again, they're doing it not with just going out and getting first-round picks to be the dude. That's what makes Veach so special. But anyway, Karloftis and Smith. Karloftis was kind of a surprise. It was a nice surprise seeing that. 10.5 sacks is career high. I think he gets to 12 this year. I know others think maybe 14. I think getting to 12. Because keep in mind, he had the 28 pressures. He gets to the quarterback, but the quarterback sometimes sneaks away. But, you know, disrupt the throw, which is what he does. You know, but start bringing the quarterback down. But he's left them at the table. 12 sacks for Karloftis, I think, would be good. But I want to know why you're going to St. Joe, why you're going to Chiefs training camp, because there's a huge battle at left tackle, and I just want to kind of calm people down on that. Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jacob Mustard, producing the operation. Our phone number, 913-586-7965. Same number as the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. I know we weren't on yesterday. The Royals were, but that news about Ozzy, man, that hit, man. I know it's not really your generation, but I guarantee you've heard a bunch of his songs. And maybe you were an Ozzy fan. I don't know.
Yeah, my dad definitely got me into all the classic rock, so I've had him and quite a few of his songs on some of my classic rock playlists.
Yeah, just a big part, you know, of growing up and stuff, and Ozzy, and you know, he just sang a couple weeks ago and just, you know, making the best of it. But yeah, it's bad news, man. You hear that stuff, you're like, oh, man, not another one, not Ozzy. You know, he's going to hang on to things as long as you can. And that was definitely kind of a gut punch on that. But I do want to talk about coming up here in the next hour, Veach's top three moves, because I do think it's important with signability, what he's doing with the contracts, because you have to be smart all the way around. NFL money's up, by the way, from last year. The money for teams is up. The NFL is printing money. And, of course, this deal with the – I don't know. Are you an NFL Network fan, or are you an MLB Network, or do you watch any of them?
Man, I can't tell you the last time I watched live TV or any live of the TV. Networks.
Well, it's – according to Irie Myrov, it says the Packers – and see, the Packers are publicly traded, so the information is available, right? They can't hide it because it's public information. Said they received $432.6 million in national revenue from the NFL last season. That means the NFL cut them a check for $432.6 million. Multiply that by 32, and that means NFL distributed roughly $13.84 billion with a B to its teams, up from $12.97 billion the year before. They print money, and they print a lot of money, and it was always kind of baffling with that whole NFL Network, because it kind of like took a back seat. They started airing just like, well, they always do, but they would air more and more, you know, older games, you know, and stuff. Red Zone is awesome. I mean, Red Zone, you can't beat that. But the Good Morning Football show is really taking a hit back when it was, you know, Schrager and Brent. Now Schrager's gone to ESPN. Brent's still there, but they had a rash of different hosts that came in and do the show. They were just trying different people out, and they were just what they were doing is treading water until this ESPN deal that kind of will take over NFL Network. It's going to probably be a streaming service, you know, direct to consumer type of thing through ESPN Plus or whatever. But I do like NFL Network, and I figured, hey, the NFL's doing fine. They're doing just fine in money. They print it. They're doing all these international games. They have all this money coming in. Things are good. The salary cap's going up. One of the reasons that helped sign Trey Smith, went up to $279.2 million, the cap, from 270. It was less than that, but they thought it was going to be 270. They thought it was going to 270. It actually went up to 279. So it was actually a $9 million surprise for NFL teams to get extra money. Chiefs take advantage of it, and they sign Trey Smith and George Karlaftis going forward. But, yeah, the NFL salary cap continues to climb as the NFL continues to print money, and the Chiefs doing good things with it. But I am curious what you think Brett Veach's top three moves as general manager has been, because it's been some good ones. There's been some real good ones, and every draft pick you make is not always going to hit, and it's just not. No team has perfect success on every single draft pick they make, but his drafts are starting to produce, and not only that, they're winning Super Bowls, or they're going to Super Bowls to keep those guys with this team. I mean, it's what the Packers used to do. They didn't go out and get many free agents. They just didn't. When they were, you know, on that dynastic run and all those great years with Favre and Rodgers and all that, they were just signing guys again. I mean, they brought in Woodson and guys like that, but there's not a ton of them. They didn't really dabble in free agency. They just signed the players they had. And John Dorsey came from that tree in Green Bay, and it's kind of been the Chiefs' motto at this point. You just keep the ones that are doing well for you. And we've seen success, and it's not the teams that spend the most money. Carolina spent the most money in the NFL last year, and they had 4 wins. Yeah, they got better, but they spent the most money. I mean, the Titans spent the most money on defense last year. They had the first pick on the clock. So it's not guaranteed success going out and spending money. It's spending money wisely, spending the right money. And all this talk in training camp about, you know, Josh Simmons, and the reason I bring this up for Veach is if Josh Simmons pans out, man, because I figured he will at some point. This early, there's no rush for that because you got 4-year contract and the 5th-year option. But if it pans out, that's a home run, man. This guy was left tackle 1 before the season started. We do that character concerns. We do the draft picks and all that. They take a chance on it. They never drafted an Ohio State guy under Veach. They go ahead and do it. It was a risk. And a patellar tendon injury back in October when he was with Ohio State. Didn't really face great pass rushers in college football. Mike Green from Marshall would have been the top one, and they only faced each other twice last year in college football. But he's been playing left tackle 1, and Jalen Moore, who they brought in for left tackle, the backed up Trent Williams, is going to be battling for Simmons for that left tackle spot. Once Juwan Taylor comes back, he's on the PUP list, he's going to be back sooner rather than later, and that'll be your right tackle. And I know people have been excited about seeing Jalen Moore over there. I'll say this about Jalen. He went to Western Michigan. He was a 5th-round pick. Played with Sky Moore when he was there. He went there as a tight end, which shows his versatility. He can get up and run. And he solidified himself now as a tackle at Western Michigan, then in the National Football League. And, of course, he backed up Trent Williams, but really had a cup of coffee in the NFL, and he's not kind of on a prove-it type deal. Like, go out and prove yourself and make all that money. But I'll say this. We've got to reel ourselves back in about this because we've seen this before at left tackle. And there hasn't been live hitting. There's been nothing. They're in shorts. Wait till the pads come on. That's when, guys, if the pads get on and all of a sudden he takes care of business, you know, against the Karlaftises of the world, the Minnehue, you know, Ashton Gelati going out to prove himself, the pick out of Louisville this year, and Felix. If he proves himself against those guys, all right, maybe they got something in Simmons. But let's wait for the pads. Just like Andy Reid said at last minicamp. Yeah, he's looked fine, but they haven't put the pads on yet. They haven't put the pads on yet and let things fly. But when they do that and he's still staying a left tackle 1, that's something. And I think it's something now, although with Juwan Taylor out and Jalen Moore over there, if Juwan Taylor's playing right now and practicing, is Jalen Moore the left tackle, not Simmons? But again, let's see, man. Give the guy a chance. Give him some time because that knee injury, that patellar tendon injury, is something we haven't really seen in the NFL. But yeah, it's good to see right now. It's good to see right now that he's getting the reps. Put the pads on. Let's see. But again, there's no rush. 4 years, fifth-year option. Hopefully you're going to have him for a long time. Just don't burn it out now. Don't get him re-injured now at this point. Just let him develop. Let him still work out. Let him get his feet under him and see what he can do. Yeah, it's great. And if it works out, that's going to probably be, I don't know if it'd be the top move, but certainly top two or three moves that they've made. And if he totally pans out and he's like playing at an all-pro level at tackle, that would be his best move he's made so far. I do think he's got a top three so far, and clearly Honey Badger retiring is part of this equation. But what do you think Brett Veach's top three moves are? We'll get to that going forward. But 913-586-7965 is the phone number and the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Why are you getting in your car and going to St. Joe? Maybe you aren't, but a lot of people are. A lot of people are making that trek up I-29 to Chiefs training camp. Everybody's in training camp at this point. What is it? We'll talk about that next. Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan. Jay Binkley, Jacob Esther producing the operation. This from Nick Capel, who works in Royals PR. Check this out, man. Most career interleague home runs amongst American League players. Number one, Aaron Judge with 80. Number two, Salvador Perez with 62. Followed by Canerco, Ortiz, A-Rod, Nelson Cruz. That's your top five. Players with at least 300 hits, 50 home runs, and 175 ribs in interleague play. Number one, Miguel Cabrera. Number two, Freddie Freeman. Number three, Albert Pujols. Number four, Nolan Arenado. Please let me know when somebody sucks, because they all don't. The next one, Manny Machado, A-Rod, then Salvador Perez. Be at the call. Right. It's trading. Guy's been through thick and thin, man. World Series MVP. He's been with the good teams. He's been with the bad teams. He's been on two Royals rises. Obviously, 14 and 15. And he was part of the 100 loss teams. And then he's on this new revival of team that made the playoffs last year. But I'm curious, why are people going to training camp? I do think training camp, honestly, is one of the fun things you can do. I mean, there are those days they charge, what, $5 to get in or something, big deal. I mean, it's like going to a high school game. And then a lot of days are free. You just got to pick and choose. I would recommend a Wednesday or Thursday practice, though. It's just lighter. Or a Tuesday, something like that. Just lighter in the weekends. But I get it, a lot of people are working. They can't take off work, whatever. But they do practice in the morning, done by 10:30, 11 or so. So you're back to work at least for half the day. But if you can go up on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, I strongly recommend that. Because you can get up there, you can see. It is practice, but there's some fun things too. Like the one-on-one drills between the offense and defensive linemen. That's always fun. Bieniemy always had fun when he was here, when he had the porta-potty drill, where he had guys open it and they'd fire the football in there real quick to check the reflexes, how fast they can catch it. But anyway, there's that kind of thing. But it's fun. And you see the camp battles. Maybe it's Josh Simmons at left tackle you really want to see. And that's good news, because usually people want to go up there and see a quarterback or wide receiver or whatever when they draft them. But going up and seeing a lineman, I think it's cool. I think it's cool that linemen are starting to get their respect to where you'd go up there and want to see that. Maybe we'll see the defense. Maybe we'll see Noel Williams, the new corner they got out of Cal, led the nation in interceptions last year. Maybe we'll see him. Maybe you want to see Shamari Connor play that safety role, play the nickel role, play different roles, maybe something different. The one thing I know that people don't want to see, and maybe they do, Jacob, correct me if I'm wrong, but all the Twitter memes and X deals from all the reporters from all the different NFL teams that think it's necessary to put every small bit of information, pictures of players stretching. I saw one today from a Pittsburgh Steelers beat writer that had TJ Watt showing up to camp, right? And he had a suitcase with him. He was carrying a tower fan. And the headline said, TJ Watt comes in with fan. Woo! Big deal, man. TJ Watt brought a fan to him with him to training camp. Let's take a picture and tweet it out, man.
How many days away are we?
Oh, from the actual season?
From any football, because everyone's getting antsy. Everything's, we're ready.
But any bit of information people like, man. Ooh, so-and-so stretching. Ooh. You know, I find it better when you find out who's injured, who got injured that day, or who's on the PUP list, or if there's a battle like a Simmons, Jalen Moore battle left tackle. You know, that's something interesting to hear. A player carrying a fan into the dorm, and I'm not talking like a fan of a team, you know, with their face paint or whatever. I mean, that would be interesting if he carried a fan in with him. But we're talking about an oscillating tower fan. Oh, we've all heard stories of the TVs, the video games, or the microwaves, and, you know, guys getting hurt doing that, Jamal Charles tripping when he had his microwave, things like that. But yes, a tweet about TJ Watt bringing a fan to the dorm. Highest paid player in the NFL has a tower fan. Whoa, are you serious? I think probably 80% of America likes sleeping with a fan. Sure, the air conditioning's on, but you still have a fan on, whether it be a ceiling fan, oscillating fan, whatever. But you see this, and then you get the good news is you get the tweets of the 80-yard bombs, right? Like, teams love putting that stuff out. When so-and-so quarterback connects with somebody 80 yards down the field, and you watch it 50 times, like, whoa, man. That was last year. Because last year, the Chiefs were doing that, like, every play. 80 yards down the field to Hollywood Brown. 80 yards down the field to Xavier Worthy. Rashee Rice, big touchdown for the Chiefs. But you see this all around the NFL. It could be Josh Allen throwing the ball, or Burrow, or Lamar Jackson, whatever. But the problem is the players are wearing shorts still. And the defensive players are wearing shorts still. And not only that, but a lot of those touchdowns that are 70 and 80-yard bombs, look at who they're playing against. They're not exactly playing against the ones when you see things like that. They're playing against guys that are either going to be in the UFL next year or selling Geico insurance. Like, that's who they're facing for those 80-yard touchdowns. But we all eat it up. We all love it. But I will say this. It is nice for the Chiefs to have the same receiver group back this year, minus Jalen Royals, who was the draft pick this year, because they haven't had that. Even Andy Reid talked about it at his last minicamp, that it's going to be nice to have him in there because he was, you know, installing the formations and everything. Took him about 8 weeks in the season before he probably put everything out there. Because, you know, guys didn't know the terminology or language, and his offenses are so complex in what they do, but they have the same group back there. That's good. Everything is good on paper right now. Cross your fingers. You know, when healthy, I love this wide receiver room. 100% love it. I loved it last year. But then the first preseason game in Jacksonville, Hollywood Brown goes down. Game four, Rashee Rice goes down. Then all of a sudden it's, okay, Xavier Worthy, you came in here with little to no pressure being a first-round pick. You got to be the dude now because it ain't Justin Watson. You got to be the dude. And he got better and better as the year progressed, led this team in receptions and yards in the postseason. We all know he had a good Super Bowl, a lot of that garbage time there at that point, but stay healthy. But, yeah, I want to see Jalen Royals. That's one of the guys that I would go up there and see. I think this left tackle battle, when they're in pads and Juwan comes back, in left tackle, and you see Simmons and Jalen Moore, and you're evaluating who's doing well against the defense and the pass rushers. Yeah, that's something to watch. And I think the running back battle is going to be fun, too. Like, people are just writing off Elijah Mitchell, you know, when they're putting the who's going to make this team. Yeah, I've seen some that are Carson Steele automatic going to make the fullback position. They're going to keep Pacheco, Kareem Hunt, and Brashard as the running backs. And they forget that Mitchell actually made more money coming in this season than what they paid Kareem Hunt, which Kareem Hunt looks great. He did last year. I give Kareem Hunt a ton of credit. He comes in off the couch, plays for the Chiefs. They bring him back this year. Guy always carries the ball in the end zone, every carry that he has. It's been great, but it's going to be a battle. It's not just going to assume who's going to make this team at running backs. And I'm curious, like, how many wide receivers do you keep? Do you keep six? Do you keep seven? How many running backs are you going to keep? Three? Four? Are you actually going to keep four tight ends this year? Are you going Kelce, Noah Gray, and are you going Jared Wiley, which I think those will be the three they keep, or Jake Brenningstuhl, the undrafted rookie from Clemson that everybody loves, who will be a camp guy this year. He will be one of those guys you'll see catching the football, and he'll be a camp guy. And I think Tyquan Thornton at wide receiver will be that camp guy at wide receiver, although Tyquan could freaking play, man, and he can fly. Dude had a 4.28 40 at the combine. And for a while, they thought he had 4.21, like Worthy. He had actually beaten John Ross. And for like an hour and a half, they had to go back and look at the film and stuff like that. But he's a second-round pick just a couple of years ago from the Patriots. Didn't work out there. Hopefully, he catches that rebirth in Kansas City. You know, besides being a vertical or nine-route guy, you know, kind of reel it in. Can you be an all-encompassing route runner? He's made great catches. Again, take it with a grain of salt because they are in shorts. But Mahomes and both Andy Reid both mentioned him in different press conferences when they were at Arrowhead Stadium. Some of you already sent in Brett Veach's best moves, 913-586-7965. Not asking for a bunch, top three. Top three Brett Veach moves. You can call in 913-586-7965 or the text line, and I'll read some of those and tell you what I think the top three moves are next.